This is your AEW Dynamite review for Wednesday, March 30th, 2022. I am the Solemn Monster. It is also the start of a hellacious few days of streaming here on the channel. I am grateful for your support all throughout the week, starting with tonight. Going to kick it off with the AEW review like we do each and every week. Very much tonight, very much an old school first hour of pro wrestling. And really, now that I think back at the entire show, in a lot of ways, I think a very kind of old school way of presenting the show tonight. You notice this week we didn't have a lot of the garbage stuff. We didn't have a lot of hardcore stuff, no blood, nothing like that. I feel like we've had an overload of that in recent weeks. And tonight, there really was none of that. You know, you look up and down that first hour, whether it was the Punk match or, you know, the FTR match or any of the stuff, a lot of really good wrestling is what highlighted tonight's show. That really is what carried tonight's show. And also, you know, breakout performance for Wheeler Yuta in his match against Bryan Danielson. Of course, we had Darby Allin and Andrade in the main event tonight. I thought they had a very good match. But probably the biggest story, I would say, coming out of tonight's show, and you saw it in the thumbnail here, is that we have a new AEW addition to the women's division. And as I speculated last week, it was, in fact, the lady on your screen. There she is. Toni Storm is All Elite. Yes, indeed. It is never official until we get the graphic. You know this. Until they throw the graphic up, it is not official. But there it is. Toni Storm is All Elite. And tonight she became the first woman to qualify for the Owen Hart Cup tournament. This was the first match, really, of either Owen tournament, the first qualifier that they have had. Both tournaments are going to culminate at Double or Nothing in Vegas coming up at the end of May. And Toni Storm can now count her name amongst the, well, I don't know, actually. Is it going to be 32 women? 16? We still haven't seen an actual bracket yet. So I'm not exactly sure who's in the tournament. This really, she's the only one that I know officially. I guess they announced one match coming up next week. Jamie Hayter against Sky Blue. Sky Blue is not going to the Owen Hart Cup. But those are the only names we know so far. So anyway, we're going to go through all the goings-on on the show tonight. Some interesting stuff with FTR as well. We did have a Wardlow appearance, even though he was basically barred from the show last week. He attempted to come and ring MJF's neck. Didn't have a lot of luck tonight, but we'll go through all of that. Super chats are open, and I want you all to smack that like button like it's Chris Rock, because it does help with the visibility of the videos on this channel when you do so, and so I thank you. Before we get into the review tonight, I do want to throw this up on the screen here. This is the schedule of events coming up this week here on the channel. Begins, of course, with tonight's Dynamite stream. Tomorrow night, I'm going to be live at 8 p.m. with WrestleMania predictions, going through both nights of WrestleMania. Friday night, SmackDown. Oh, I'm sorry, WrestleMania SmackDown. We've got the Andre Battle Royal on Friday night. And then AEW Rampage. Saturday's a busy one. Two shows in one day. NXT TakeOver. Well, it's not TakeOver anymore. I keep calling it TakeOver. It's a bad habit. TakeOver is dead. TakeOver is no more. Now it's just Stand and Deliver. 1 o'clock Eastern is Stand and Deliver on Saturday. And as soon as that goes off the air, you can bring it on back here for the live review. And of course, that night is night one of WrestleMania. Sunday is episode 750 of The Sound Off. That is not on YouTube. And Sunday night will be night two of WrestleMania 38, and I will say I am at least considering the possibility, given that it is the Raw after WrestleMania. I might even go live on Monday night after all. We'll see. We'll see. If I'm still standing at the end of this weekend, maybe we'll do a Raw review as well. But anyway, a busy bunch of days. So all you need to do is show up and support, and I thank you for that. So we open with CM Punk one-on-one against Max Caster of the Acclaimed. It took all of 5 seconds for Max Caster to make a crack about Will Smith and Chris Rock. It was the first thing he said in his rap. I mean, you knew if Max Caster was going to be on the show, how could he not at least drop a mention of that in his rap. Anthony Bowens was out there with him. Bowens, for those who don't know, has been out with an injury. I don't know if it's a knee injury, but he's out. He was out there tonight moving around just fine. He just hasn't been cleared yet. That's why he hasn't wrestled in a few weeks. Hey, Rod of his Prime, thank you for the $25 Hardy Monster Super Chat. I always have to mimic it. But anyway. So yes, Bowens should be cleared any week now, but he's been out with an injury. He was in his corner tonight. We had a top rope Frankensteiner by Punk that brought Caster down. Oh, I should mention, by the way, at the end of Caster's rap, he had a little crack in there about Z-Pax. I mean, it's not as if anybody's never joked about that before. Something about crapping his pants. Punk was amused by all this. He had a smirk on his face like he was just, he was bemused by the whole thing. So he had a top rope Frankensteiner, brought Caster down, hit the rising knee into the bulldog for a near fall. Referee's back was turned at one point. Bowens perched Punk over the top rope, had him hanging as Caster came off the corner turnbuckle and basically hit a coast-to-coast drop kick for a near fall. He went for the mic drop, flying elbow off the top. Punk rolled out of the way, hit a pile driver that JR called a tombstone. It was not a tombstone, just a regular pile driver. And Punk got the submission win with the Anaconda Vice. So, solid win for Punk. Just as an excuse to get Tony Schiavone into the ring to interview him when the match was over. And Tony Schiavone wanted to know, Punk, what did you mean last week when you did that motion? You can't see it. I'm trying to do the motion here. It looks like I'm stepping to you. He did that motion around the waist. He knew it was about a championship, but he wasn't sure what Punk meant by it. He wasn't sure what championship he was referring to. Tony Schiavone's been doing this for how long? 30 years? 40 years now? You think the man would know what CM Punk was talking about? I don't think CM Punk was talking about going after the FTW title. And Punk said that he doesn't know who the AEW champion is going to be in a few weeks. He doesn't know if it's going to be, you know, Adam Cole, baby. He doesn't know if it's going to be cowboy shit time, but he knows this. He says he's got a lot of gray in his beard, and he does. More gray in his beard. The sophisticated look. He's got a lot of gray in his beard, but before his time is over, there's going to be a lot more gray. There's going to be a lot more scars. And he promises that before all is said and done, he will be the AEW world champion. Everybody cheered and they played his music. And that was the end of that. So this is going to be a fun story to follow. And it's one that I've mapped out before, right? You've heard me talk about this and pitch this and map this whole thing out here on the streams. CM Punk, at some point, wins the AEW World Championship this year. It might not be Double or Nothing. Double or Nothing actually feels a little too soon. But if it's not Double or Nothing, All Out, especially if they're back in Chicago, Punk's hometown, he's going to become the AEW World Champion. And he has to become the AEW World Champion. Why does he have to become the champion? Because for the story to make sense, it has to be Punk who loses the title to MJF. You will eventually come back to MJF and Punk. They're tied one win apiece. And for MJF to put the stake in the heart and get his revenge and go up 2-1 on Punk, he's got to beat him. And when he beats him, this time it's going to be for the title. That is the story that makes sense. Hey, Chase Wood. Hey, look at that. That's Baby Solo Monster. That's the $50 Baby Solo Monster Super Chat. Little fucking brat. What's going on, Chase? Thank you for the 50 spot. I will, I'll read that now, actually. It says, Punk to win the AEW title at Double or Nothing. Well, we were just talking about that. I kind of feel like it would be a little soon. It could happen, though. It could happen. Because that's an awful long period of time to have to fill between now and September for Phil to win the title. So, I don't know. Either or. Take your pick. I thought of All Out because of the Chicago connection. But that is the story to tell. Backstage, we went to Alex Marvez, who was standing by with MJF. And FTR, Mark Sterling, Smart Mark, is MJF's lawyer. He was putting up signs behind them while the interview was going on. And Marvez said, what's going on here? What's he doing? And he was putting signs up. It was an AEW security alert that had a photo on it of Wardlow, basically warning that this man is banned from the building. He is banned from all AEW events. So if you see this man, you are to make sure that he is kicked out of the building and not welcome back in. He's putting these posters up everywhere. MJF says Wardlow no longer exists in this universe. He said the pinnacle is moving on up. Dax Harwood pipes up and he tells MJF that, look, we're friends, but we're also friends with the big guy. We're friends with Wardlow too. We don't want to get in between whatever's going on with the two of you. So don't involve us in this. We don't want no part of it. We're friends with both of you. MJF says, look, we're family, and I didn't want to hurt your feelings by telling you guys this, but I may as well tell you now. Wardlow used to talk shit about you all the time. Just saying. This guy would talk shit behind your back like you wouldn't believe. All the time. They weren't buying it. MJF said, the pinnacle is always on top. He put his fist out. And FTR hesitantly put their fists out as well. So the pinnacle has gotten a lot smaller, right? Tully Blanchard is gone. Wardlow has been kicked out. It's MJF, Sean Spears, and FTR. And it's pretty clear FTR is on their way out. So the pinnacle is not long for this world. We had Jon Moxley of the Blackpool Combat Club. They have already have the merch out. He was out there in a Blackpool Combat Club hoodie. One-on-one with Jay Lethal. How about that? Jay Lethal, 2 weeks in a row on the show. I think that's a record for him. Lethal was toying around with Moxley early on. So Moxley slapped him across the face. He wasn't going to have any more of this crap. At one point, there was a mid-air collision. Both men went for a crossbody at the same time. Moxley landed a King Kong Lariat. Lethal came back with a lethal combination. They traded reversals. Lethal fought out of a paradigm shift. Moxley countered the lethal injection as Lethal came off the ropes. Moxley caught him with a bulldog choke. Lethal then wiggled his way out of that, hit a brainbuster, followed that up with the Randy Savage elbow off the top rope. Not as good as Randy Savage would do it, but it's the thought that counts. Lethal lost his cool at that point, and he grabbed the referee. He was getting very frustrated here. And he was going for a figure four leg lock to the damaged leg. Moxley's leg had been damaged during the match. Moxley, though, pulled him in for a cradle. Lethal kicked out at 2.5. Moxley followed that up with a paradigm shift. And that is all that she wrote. Jon Moxley picks up the win. Hey, H-Dub! What's going on? A channel member for 7 months. Thought that Tony Storm makes any show better. I wholeheartedly agree. There's a lot of people on OnlyFans who would agree with you as well. The woman made $31,000 her first day when she opened that OnlyFans page. She doesn't have to wrestle if she don't want to. I said this on Sunday. She did that in one day. Imagine what she'll make in a month. So yeah, I think a lot of people would be in agreement with you on that. After the match, Lethal was upset, but he accepted Moxley's handshake when Moxley put his hand out. This was a really good match. You know, if you pay attention to the story here, early on, Lethal was trying to be respectful, and Moxley really didn't seem all that interested in reciprocating. And then when he couldn't put Moxley away, Lethal got very frustrated. It's all part of the story, and I already see the comments in the chat. Oh, they're jobbing him. They're jobbing him. What are they doing with Jay Lethal? Talk to me in 6 weeks. Because if this is still going on in 6 weeks, I'm with you. We've seen plenty of losing streak angles in WWE, and the vast majority of them don't end in a very good place. So now they're doing one in AEW, and they're doing one with Jay Lethal, who's a former Ring of Honor world champion. He's not some scrub. You know, Jay Lethal's been around for a long time. He's an established name, a former champion in other promotions, and I believe he has yet to win a single match on Dynamite or Rampage. He might have won some on Dark, but I don't am I forgetting one, but I don't recall him winning a single match on any of the TV shows yet. So he has this losing streak going, and clearly, though, to me, it is building to something. Also, remember the promo from last week? I think it was on Rampage. He was interviewed in the back. And they were talking to him, and he said, something has to change. You know, the guys that have beaten me so far, they cheated to win. Something's got to change. Teasing that there will, in fact, be some kind of a change coming. Whether he goes heel, whether he gets a manager. Maybe he's going to join the Blackpool Combat Club. I don't know that he would really be a good fit for that group, just because I think it would be better going after some of the younger guys who we don't know yet. But clearly this is going somewhere. So if you were worried about what are they doing with Jay Lethal, I would say let this story play out a few more weeks, because I do think there's an end goal here. And look, the fact that we even got Jay Lethal on the show 2 weeks in a row is an improvement from what they were doing before, where you barely saw the guy. Now, I was thinking earlier about Jay White. Remember they put that video package together, and Jay White, he was on television. Then he had the one match against Trent, I think it was, on Rampage. And I'm like, oh, this is great. Yeah, I knew he wasn't going to be in full time because he's still doing stuff with Impact. And he's, you know, obviously he's contracted to New Japan. But he made one appearance in the ring, and that was it. We haven't seen him since. I like the fact that wrestlers are allowed to come and make appearances. You know, in WWE, you couldn't have that. You're either in or you're out. But it can be frustrating. He makes one appearance and then he vanishes. So the fact that Jay Lethal was back on the show, I think, is a good thing. 2 weeks in a row. We had FTR against the Gun Club with MJF sitting in on commentary. MJF said that we used to say, where's Waldo? Now it's, where's Wardlow? By the way, Frost, that's a good point. He goes, I thought you didn't like it with the whole let it play out thing. WWE lost my trust a long time ago on the let it play out thing. I used to do that. There are certain things that didn't look quite right to me, or it looked like somebody was getting buried or something, and let it play out. Maybe it's leading to something. And then 7 or 8 times out of 10, it didn't lead anywhere. After a while, it's like the boy who cried wolf, right? You can tell me that, but unless you show me that things are actually going to lead somewhere, after a while, you kind of lose my faith. That's what happens with WWE. In AEW, they haven't totally lost my faith yet when it comes to this kind of stuff. I'm willing to let the Jay Lethal thing play out a little bit more and see where it's going, and then I'll judge whether or not it's a good idea or a shitty idea. They haven't lost me yet the way the WWE has done with a lot of their storytelling. It's the same thing when I talked about NXT back in the day. I used to love NXT. Lucha Underground. I used to love Lucha Underground. And I would give them the benefit of the doubt when they did something that made me scratch my head and go, wait a minute, what are they doing here? But okay, you know what? I trust them. I trust the writers of Lucha Underground. I trust Triple H that this is going to go somewhere. And more often than not, it did. They didn't let me down. WWE lets me down all the time. Constantly. That's the difference. Anyway, FTR against the Gun Club. MJF on commentary. Billy Gunn waffled Cash Wheeler early into this match with a right hand on the floor. Aubrey Edwards did not see it. And then Billy gave him a crotch chop and said, suck that, bitch. See, we're still living in 1998 here. So they went to the picture-in-picture. They came back. Cash hit a back suplex. Colton Gunn cut him off from reaching Dax for the tag. Eventually, though, he did make the tag to Dax. Here comes Dax the Axe. He comes into the ring. He takes down the Gun Club with right hands. All of a sudden, they cut to the backstage area, and there's Wardlow. Almost said Waldo. There's Wardlow. And he's storming in. He's in that part of the arena where the concessions are and everything, and he's swatting these security geeks away one by one, throwing them aside. One of them he powerbombed onto a table, which did not break, but it had these little bags of popcorn on there, so he powerbombed them on the table, and the popcorn went everywhere. And then he walks into the arena. He was up in the mezzanine somewhere. And he comes walking down the steps, and he's kicking some more security geeks out of the way, and he's pointing over to where MJF is by the announcers. Like, he's going to come and rip his fucking head off and shit down his neck. And MJF is freaking out on commentary. What's going on here? The security guards in this company. And I'm thinking the same thing. Boy, if there was a real threat in this building and you put these guys out there, just think about this logically. Keeping in kayfabe here. I think AEW can do better when it comes to their security staff. Eventually, though, they did swarm him and they were able to escort Wardlow out of the building. But there was a match going on. This entire time, there was a match going on. So we cut back to the ring, and Harwood had a roll up for a near fall when all of a sudden Billy Gunn jumps up on the apron. And we have a little bit of a stare down between Dax and Billy. Harwood went for the pin. Billy was holding his son's arms to prevent him from falling backwards into the pin. Here comes Cash, who leaps over his partner to nail Billy Gunn and knock him off the apron. This whole sequence here was completely convoluted. They did not have to go through hoops for this finish here like this. FTR in the end hit the big rig and got the win. Afterwards, MJF came down to the ring to celebrate with FTR. Harwood wanted nothing to do with him. And he's pointing out the fact, again, Wardlow's our friend too. We don't want to have anything to do with what's going on here. He's our boy. Loud FTR chants. First time I've ever heard that. Loud chants in the building of FTR. And MJF is trying to defuse the situation. He grabs each of their hands. He grabs their AAA tag belts and gives it to them and raises their arms. Now the crowd boos. So he's trying to keep the peace here with his boys. At FTR, they calm down. If you were wondering, you know, would FTR be taken as babyfaces? Would they be accepted? Would they be over as babyfaces? In front of this crowd tonight, they were. And I think in front of most crowds, most AEW crowds, they'll take to them just fine. Because right now, they're straddling that line. You know, they're still in the pinnacle. They're still aligned with MJF. They're not total babyfaces yet, but they're talking like babyfaces. They're acting like babyfaces. I mean, it's all but a done deal. And tonight showed that the crowds, I think, would get behind them just fine. And the timing is perfect because of the match and the feud that FTR is now teasing that's coming up next, which I'll talk about a little bit later. But this was no surprise here. FTR was not losing this match 2 days before they challenged the Briscoes for the Ring of Honor tag team titles and Supercard of Honor. They were not losing to the fucking ass boys here on Dynamite. So yes, Ring of Honor World Tag Team titles will be on the line Friday night. For those who are unaware, Briscoe's taking on FTR. I will not be watching the show live, but I will try to check it out after the fact. Somehow, Saturday morning, I'll try to squeeze it in. And I'll give my thought, at least so I can see that match. If nothing else, that's the match I want to see. So I'm sure I'll have a chance to at least watch that match, and then I'll be able to talk about it and give my thoughts on the podcast on Sunday. But no, there will not be any standalone Ring of Honor review because I am only one person. I am only one person, and we have WrestleMania SmackDown on Friday night, and that's just the way it is. So we have the Jericho Appreciation Society backstage. Jericho said that he's had people from all over the world, rosters and companies from all over the place, wanting in on the JAS. I call bullshit on that, by the way. But that's what he said. And he said that that's too bad. There's only five of us. There's no room for anyone else. And he says if anybody else wants to join, they can GYF or GFY. I fucking know. Stupid catchphrase. Yeah, Jericho has gotten a lot of things over in his career. I will give the man credit. He's got the word it over. He got the word it over. He got a scarf over. He got a plant over. Mitch, remember Mitch? Rest in peace. GFY is not one of those things. So Daniel Garcia starts talking about, you know, the pro wrestler Santana, Ortiz, Eddie Kingston. They made the mistake of going up against the sports entertainers. And they took out all of them and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Matt, one half of 2.0, pulls back the curtain on one side, and there's nobody there. So he's trying to show us Kingston's not here. Santana and Ortiz, see, they're not here. So then Jake Hager speaks, which always makes me stop in my tracks. You never know what you're going to get. So Hager speaks, and he says, we have to get it through our heads. They're not here, and they're never going to be back. And so to illustrate that point to us, he pulls the curtain away on the other side. And wouldn't you know who is standing on the other side of that curtain? Why, it's Eddie Kingston and Santana and Ortiz. Well, how about that? So we get a big brawl. Kingston grabs Jericho, brings him out into the arena, puts him in the ring. And he connected with the spinning back fist. Then Santana and Ortiz were setting Jericho up for the street sweeper, but other members of the JAS, they pushed Santana. Actually, Santana took a pretty nasty bump off the ropes, whacked the back of his head on the apron, fell to the floor. Daniel Garcia locked Kingston in the sharpshooter as Jericho whacked Eddie across the back with his baseball bat. Jericho whipped Kingston with his belt. And they just beat these guys down to end the segment. I thought this dragged on way too long. It got to a point where I thought, okay, end this. This does not have to be happening anymore. So I thought this segment went longer than it needed to. But as a beatdown to put more heat on the feud, it served its purpose. And now we wait and we see, are we going to get a stadium stampede? Are we going to get blood and guts? Because you know they're going to do another one of those. The last Blood and Guts match, I think, was Cinco de Mayo last year. So we're coming up on the anniversary of the Blood and Guts match, which happened on Dynamite. Makes me wonder if maybe early May is going to be the annual time to do Blood and Guts. And if so, I can't think of another faction, you know, rivalry going on right now that would necessitate that kind of stipulation. You know, we really haven't even gotten into the whole Omega, Bucks, Adam Cole, Red Dragon thing because Omega's still out. Omega's going to be out at least a couple more months, maybe longer. He still has another surgery left. They can't forward that story and start creating tension between the two parties until we know that Omega is back. And I always thought, okay, they'll save Blood and Guts for those guys. But it looks like they might give that away with these guys. A lot sooner, so we'll see. Backstage, Jade Cargill was there with Mark Sterling, and they're trying to figure out who her opponent is going to be when she goes 30-0. And Mark Sterling decided upon Leva Bates, the librarian, who I don't believe is working under a full-time... She might be on a per-appearance deal now with AEW. I think Peter Avalon is. She might be, too. Jade was appalled by this and said, what, you don't think I deserve actual competition? She told Leva to get stepping, so she left. And Sterling said, well, then I guess we have to go with option two, and he said it would be Marina Shafir. Now, earlier in the show, they had a highlights package for Marina Shafir. Marina Shafir is one of the old, you know, the MMA horsewomen, one of Ronda Rousey's friends. She was in NXT, the wife of Roderick Strong. She was cut. She was one of the many, 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 many names that were cut last year. Jessamine Duke, I don't even know if Jessamine Duke is wrestling anymore. I think she's doing gaming and streaming on Twitch and stuff. So, boy, that horsewomen thing that people were talking about for years, oh, we're going to get the WWE horsewomen against the MMA horsewomen. That could be a Survivor Series match. Never happened. Never happened, never will happen now. And now two of them aren't even in the company anymore. Shayna Baszler feels like she's got one foot out the door. Ronda is safe. We know Ronda's not going to go anywhere. But Marina Shafir landed in AEW. And I have seen exactly zero of her recent matches, but it showed us highlights, which they had to, if they were going to announce that she was going to be Jade's opponent. Otherwise, you're going to have people going, who? What? She works for AEW? I didn't know. Because not everybody watches Dark. Or Dark Elevation. So she's going to be Jade Cargill's opponent as she tries to go 30-0. Although they didn't say when. They didn't officially announce it for next week. Jade, by the way, for those who don't know, she did an interview, and it might have been the one on Spotify, I think. And shout out to, if I'm if it wasn't that interview, I think it was actually Sir Wilkins who interviewed her. But Jay talked about Bryan Danielson and Danielson giving her a lot of great advice because he's really been like a mentor to her behind the scenes. Tony Khan specifically asked Bryan Danielson, can you please help and mentor Jade Cargill, which is maybe the smartest thing he's ever done. I mean, what a person to learn from. And so she's had nothing but praise for Danielson and all the things that he's showed her. And she says the biggest piece of advice that he's given her is have fun. And when she comes back after a match, he says, you know, we could talk about the small things maybe that you did wrong, but he always says, did you have fun? He goes, you always need to make sure that when you're out there, you're having fun. But the other thing, which I thought was just trying to visualize this, is just funny to me. He has been exposing her to British wrestling for the first time. So she had never seen much of any, I think, of British wrestling. And now all of a sudden, Bryan Danielson, I could just picture him sitting in the back popping in tapes. Because he feels like the kind of guy who would watch tapes. He wouldn't bring it up on his phone or his laptop or his iPad. Showing her, you know, British, I don't know if it's old school British wrestling, modern British wrestling. Maybe he's showing her NXT UK. I have no fucking idea. But she said, yeah, he's been showing me British wrestling and I've been learning new things. So, hey, you know, that's great. That's great. I can't think of a better person for her to be learning from than Bryan Danielson. Speaking of which, this was probably my favorite part of the show. Bryan Danielson. One-on-one against Wheeler Yuta. We had William Regal on commentary. Regal is still calling Excalibur Man in the Mask. So he'll be talking and saying something, and then he'll go, Man in the Mask, and then he'll make his point. And I just, it cracks me up every single time. Look, he really does look fucking stupid sitting there in that mask. I mean, let's just be honest. I mean, we can beat around the bush here, but he looks fucking ridiculous sitting there in a mask. When they zoom in on the announcers and there's Jim Ross and there's Tony Schiavone and there's this guy sitting there in a fucking mask. He looks ridiculous. So Danielson blasted Yuta with a series of elbows. He went for cattle mutilation. Yuta, though, slipped out of it. The crowd popped. Nice, smooth slip out of the move. Crowd popped for that. And Wheeler delivered some rapid-fire elbows of his own to Danielson. The crowd was going wild at this point for Yuta. He even got loud Yuta chants. We got chants for Wheeler Yuta here on this show. It was a good crowd tonight. Remind me in the chat, where were they tonight? I meant to make a note of that. I actually don't remember what city they were in tonight, but whatever city they were in, thumbs up to that. It's a good crowd tonight. Yuta had Danielson pinned in his seatbelt move that he does. Great near fall. Danielson got out. And then Danielson ducked a clothesline, put Yuta down with a running knee strike. Danielson grabbed the arms of Yuta. So you knew what was coming up next, right? So he's got this kid down. He grabs his arms, and he starts pulling the arms up. He's about to stomp on him. And Yuta looks up, and he spits in Danielson's face. But this was no ordinary, you know, hocking a loogie at this guy. I mean, this fucking guy, I mean, the spit was dripping off of, it was fucking disgusting. Dripping from Danielson's face. It was in his eye. It was on his chin. And all that did was piss off Danielson, who absolutely caved this guy's fucking head in with these stomps. I mean, he fucking just stomped the shit out of this kid. And then hit a Gotch-style pile driver and then locked on the lapel lock for the win. I'm being told that it was South Carolina that they were in tonight. Columbia, to be exact. Columbia, South Carolina. Shout out to Columbia, South Carolina. It was a great crowd tonight. I love this. And I said this on Twitter. This match here is one of the reasons why I really wanted to see Bryan Danielson leave WWE and come to AEW. Because, you know, part of it was just that, I don't know, Bryan felt, not that I didn't enjoy watching his work anymore, but when you've been in one place for so long, you get bored with it because you've already faced everybody multiple times. So I like the fact that he left, he got a change of scenery, And one of the reasons I wanted to see him here is for this reason right here that we saw tonight, so he can work with the younger guys who he's never worked with before. Yuta is clearly one of those younger stars that they see something in. Daniel Garcia is another one just by virtue of how much television time they get. I think they feel the same way about both members of the Acclaimed, right? So those are the kinds of talents that I wanted to see Danielson in the ring with, in addition to the CM Punks and the Hangman Pages and Kenny Omegas and people like that. He can wrestle them too. But it's Danielson in the ring against guys like this, this right here, working with the younger talent and testing them, trying to pull from them, pull the best out of them. We got the best from Wheeler Yuta tonight in this match, and it got over in front of this South Carolina crowd. They were chanting his name. They got violent towards the end of this match. Both men chose violence in this match, which I like. And Regal put him over on commentary. He was very impressed by what he saw from young Wheeler Yuta here. So he brought the best out of Yuta in this match, and I loved it. Like I said, this was probably my favorite thing on the entire show. Let me give a quick shout out to everybody joining here tonight. In case you haven't figured it out, you are watching the AEW Dynamite stream, your first of at least six streams over these next several days. So there's a lot of content coming your way. So do hit that like button. And again, I'm going to be reading your super chats here at the end. If you want to support the channel and the show and myself, if you have questions, comments, send them on in. You'll see them popping up there on screen. I do appreciate it. We had Adam Cole, Bobby Fish, and Kyle O'Reilly. They were out next. All the championships they stole from Hangman Page and from Jurassic Express. They stole the world title. Last week, they stole the tag team titles. So they come out there. They have all the gold. This was going to be a championship celebration. There was a box, cardboard box in the corner of the ring. It was labeled Party Supplies. And Kyle O'Reilly opened the box, and what was it, two or three gold balloons came out of the box and up into the rafters they went. So they spared no expense for this championship celebration. Cole claimed that Hangman Page and Jurassic Express, they weren't there because they were embarrassed. He said they were embarrassed by how easily they had their titles taken away from them. Cole said that they didn't steal the titles because you cannot steal something that belongs to you. That's the excuse I always used to use whenever I would steal shit, like in school. Fucking pencil. Somebody leaves a pencil on the table or an eraser and I took it, you know? That's mine. No, it's not. You stole it. No, I didn't. Belongs to me. How can I steal something that belongs to me? Sit the fuck down. This is a shoot, by the way. I did twice. I actually twice got in trouble for biting a kid on the arm. At least one of those times is because they took my Lego. This was in kindergarten. So I still somewhere, I think I have them somewhere, actually. The letters that the teacher sent me home with, it was like this illustration of like a student with an apple on his head and a sad face or whatever, and your son has been sent home because he bit another student. Look, I mean, when somebody takes something that belongs to you, you got to take matters into your own hands. I don't apologize for it. So Hangman's music played, and here comes the AEW World Champion. And he drove a white Tesla into the arena. It had bullhorns on the hood. Like, this guy was fucking JBL here, driving into this arena. Shout out to, what was that, G2K for the sub. Young Solo Monster was a menace to society. You would know. Didn't you see that super chat, that $50 super chat earlier? Taking that machine gun to my friend. Because I missed the ice cream truck or whatever it was. Yeah, I was a little menace back then. Oh, my goodness. Anyway. So here comes Hangman. He comes down to the ring. Attacks all three heels. He's setting up on the apron for the Buckshot Lariat. But before he can do it, Red Dragon pulls Cole out of the ring to safety. And as the heels are backing up the ramp, here comes Jurassic Express from behind. And I think Christian Cage was with them. And boy, Christian's been completely wasted. I don't mean drunk. I mean, they've wasted him on television. What's he doing? It's like they got rid of Marco Stunt and they put Christian in Marco Stunt's place. It's and Marco Stunt, too, like, you know, he was out there as like the cheerleader for these two guys. And that's basically what Christian has become. He's like their mascot, only he's fully grown. But he doesn't do anything. We rarely see him. You know, Christian's still got some good years left in him. You don't want to waste those years away. Christian had that really fun match, actually a couple of them with Kenny Omega last year, but that great match on television where he won the Impact title from him. There's still mileage left in Christian. We got to get him back in the ring. Anyway, they threw Red Dragon into the ring and Jungle Boy Luchasaurus, and they worked them over in the ring. Paige went for the buckshot again on Cole. Cole this time ducked it, but when Cole came off the ropes, Hangman backdropped him out of the ring and onto Red Dragon on the floor. And they regained, I should say. They regained their championships that were stolen from them last week, and they stood tall with their titles. I thought the whole stealing of the belt, like, what are we doing here? You know what I mean? Like, they stole the belts. They come out there tonight. They have a piece of tape, I guess, with their names on them. I mean, this is the great idea they came up with for Undisputed Era. These guys came in from NXT, all that, you know, all that fanfare when Adam Cole came in, and lesser fanfare when the Red Dragon came in. But still, there were a lot of people excited to see, okay, what are they going to do with these guys? And their great idea was that they're going to go steal the belts away from the champions and pretend to be the champs. I don't know. I just think that whole story was pretty lame. I assume we're setting up for those two title matches that'll take place on that next Battle of the Belt show, which is on April 15th, which I almost hope is not airing on April 15th, which is a Friday night. I assume it's on Rampage. That is probably when it is going to air, though, and that sucks because that's the next House of Glory show. So in that case, I will be on hog duty that night and not able to stream live if that's the case. But I have to assume that's when they're doing those title matches. I can't imagine those are going to be the title matches at Double or Nothing at the end of May. So we had Thunder Rosa out on stage with Tony Schiavone after last week's attack by Nyla Rose in that terrible segment. This was much better than what we had last time, because this was pretty much just a straightforward Thunder Rosa promo. And Thunder Rosa's got a lot of fire in her voice, especially when she gets attacked and she has to cut that comeback promo. I thought she did a very good job with this here. She said it was a shame that her celebration was cut short last week, but she is the first ever Mexican-born world champion in AEW history. She fought and clawed her way to the top to be the face of the women's division, and now she wants to be the face of all women's wrestling. People want to bring her down. She says the foundation, though, remains standing. She will remain a foundation in this company. She demanded that Nyla Rose talk things out, either with her words or that they fight in the ring. No matter what, Thunder Rosa will be there waiting for her. So, again, very straightforward stuff from Thunder Rosa. There was nobody who interrupted her this time. There was no attack from behind. We got a Nyla Rose promo later in the show. That whole segment was terrible because when they cut backstage, Vicky Guerrero started talking. You could barely hear her. Either there was some kind of problem with her microphone or she wasn't talking into her mic. Nyla's got the deep voice. So when Nyla started talking, you could hear Nyla. But you could barely hear what Vicky was saying. But this segment here, this was a nice improvement from what they did with Thunder Rosa last week. Let's just leave it at that. And then we had our first qualifier. And our first qualifier in the Women's Owen Hart Cup tournament tonight with the Bunny facing a mystery opponent. And that mystery opponent was indeed Toni Storm. Toni Storm walks out there making her first appearance since walking out of WWE in December. She walked out of SmackDown and she walked right into AEW Dynamite. It took her a while to get there. It took her 90 days to get there. But she finally reached her destination. She came out and got a great reaction. She almost broke down crying when she came out on stage. Yeah, I was thinking about this. It really would be something if we cut, because it's a very strange situation, right? The way that Toni Storm left WWE, I mean, who could fucking blame her? One thing you didn't find tonight on Dynamite, no pies to the face. When Toni Storm walked out of the show tonight, she didn't have fucking pie shit dripping from her face. So that's good, right? That's a positive. But you look at what they did with her. And the last image of her that we had. Is there any wonder why the woman wanted to leave that company? But I was thinking it'd be kind of funny if we came to find out why did she walk out when she did? What was it that made her go, I gotta get out of this place? It would be funny if we come to find out that the reason she left was just she really wanted to be badly, wanted to be in the Owen Hart tournament. So she weaseled her way out of her contract, and surprisingly, they gave her her release. That's why she had the 90 days. And yet, Mustafa Ali is chained to the fucking wall in the basement of Titan Tower, and they're not going to let him go for who knows how long. He's got to serve out his sentence. Toni Storm was given early parole, and nobody seems to know why. Why were they so eager to just let her go? We still don't know the answer to that. I was very surprised, actually. The WWE, I guess, just decided to let her go. And look, I believe that if someone is deeply unhappy at their job, they should not be, yes, she had a contract, but if she is deeply unhappy at her job and the company tries to work things out and it's clear that they cannot work things out, this woman is depressed, she's just miserable, she doesn't want to be there anymore, let that person go, because otherwise they're just going to be miserable in your locker room and you don't want that. That's what I believe in. But it's very unlike WWE to just let somebody go like that. Yet Ali, poor Ali, chained to the fucking wall, right? They slide his food tray under there twice a day. He gets breakfast in the morning, gets dinner, gets gruel that he gets to eat for dinner at night. It's terrible. It's terrible. Anyway, she got a great reaction coming out. This was more competitive, I thought, than it had to be. I'm not saying it should have been over in 10 seconds, but this went through a commercial break, and I just thought I would not have had this match be as competitive as it was. Storm hit her hip attack in the corner and a big boot. Fisherman Suplex Bridge got two. Bunny came back with a power slam for two of her own. She landed a thrust kick and then a second one. And Toni came back, hit Storm Zero to win the match, dropped her right on her head. And pinned her 1-2-3, and so Toni Storm becomes the first woman to qualify for the Owen Hart Cup. And it is way too early for me to make a prediction as far as who is going to win. Is Toni Storm going to win? How the fuck should I know? I don't know anybody else who's officially in the tournament yet. I know one more qualifier that's happening next week. I have no idea who else is in this tournament, so I can't possibly give a prediction right now that I really believe in. I will tell you, though, that Toni Storm, is she would I consider her to be in my top three of people who I think will go on to win the entire thing? I do. I think she's going to go deep in the tournament. I don't know that she's going to win. But again, I can't say for sure until I see the full bracket. But I think she will go far. Put it this way. She won't get bounced in the first round like she was in the Queen's Crown. Wasn't it her who lost in the first round to Zelina Vega? If my memory serves me correctly, and maybe it doesn't, maybe my memory is going here, but I believe Toni Storm lost in the first round to Zelina Vega. Toni Storm has now qualified for the Owen Hart Cup. I feel pretty confident that she'll make it deeper in this tournament than she did in that one. Main event was Darby Allin, one-on-one. Actually, Darby Allin with Mr. Stink in his corner, one-on-one against Andrade El Idolo. Andrade attacked him before the bell. You know, we've seen so many times Darby attack his opponent coming through the ropes with that missile dive. As Darby skateboarded down to the ring, Andrade hit a tornado dive out over the top rope and took out Darby to open the match. Then he dropped Darby face first onto the timekeeper's table. Sent Darby into the ring steps, planted him back first after that on top of the overturned ring steps, which were standing on their side, and then he just dropped Darby right on top of them. Back in the ring, the referee checked on Darby. He demanded the referee ring the bell to officially start the match, and so we were underway. Andrade landed the double knees in the corner. Darby, though, grabbed the ropes to break the count after when he tried to win. Coming back from the final break, the two of them started teeing off on each other with slaps. We got ourselves a fucking slap contest here. They were slapping the crap out of each other, and then finally Andrade won the battle. He smacked the shit out of this kid. And they both collapsed. Referee started to count both of them. Andrade had Darby on his shoulders a little bit later on while he was standing on the middle rope. So I don't know if he was going for a fallaway slam or what the idea would have been. Darby, though, fell backwards and took him over with a crucifix off the middle rope. Here comes Jose. He's marching down to the ring, but Sting clotheslines Jose from behind and knocks him down. Here come the Butcher and the Blade. They come out to attack Sting. They're beating up on Sting on the outside. Darby Allin is up on the top rope. He sees this, and he dives over the ring post down onto the Butcher and the Blade on the floor. Back in the ring, Darby goes for a coffin springboard splash off the ropes. Andrade caught him, though, in midair and turned it into a buckle bomb in the corner, and then he hit the El Idolo DDT for the win. So Andrade picks up really a much-needed win. Andrade's another one. He doesn't feel like someone who wins nearly as often as he should. So for him, this was a much-needed win in this match. Now, when it was over, Butcher and Blade, they ganged up on Sting in the ring. When Sting came in to check on Darby, they started beating up on Sting again. Here comes Private Party. They run into the ring, and now here come the Hardys. And you knew the Hardys were coming out. They already announced that it's going to be a tables match next week between the Hardys and the Butcher and the Blade. So you knew. You knew Matt and Jeff were coming out to make the save. They came out with chairs. Matt hit a twist of fate to Mark Quinn in the ring, and then Jeff Hardy goes up to the top rope. And Jeff Hardy sets up for the Swanton Bomb. As we've been talking about in recent weeks, Jeff Hardy's a lot older. Jeff Hardy's had a lot of injuries. Jeff Hardy is dealing with a lot of pain on a regular basis. You know, he says he's feeling pretty good, but you know he wakes up in the morning and he feels it. He feels all the bumps, all the dives, everything he's put himself through. He feels it. In fact, in WWE, he even talked about how he was scaling back on how many times he would hit the Swanton Bomb. He wasn't really doing it at a lot of the live events. He would save it for TV because it takes a toll on his body. But the difference now in how he executes the move, back in the day, Jeff, his head would barely graze the person. It actually looks a lot better now, but not if you're the person taking the move. Because what he does, he just, all of his body weight, he uses his opponent as a crash pad. And that's what he did here to poor Mark Quinn. He crushed this kid, landed on with all of his body weight. Looks great. I can't say I'd want to take the move, but it looked great. And that is how they went off the air. So I actually thought it was a hell of a show tonight. A lot of good wrestling, none of the garbage wrestling, hardcore wrestling, whatever you want to call it. No blood. I was shocked. Nobody bled. Is Tony Khan feeling okay? No blood on the show tonight. I don't have an issue with doing a tornado match or a no DQ match or having blood on the show, but not every single week, right? You got to dial it back a little bit. Less is more. Tonight, they gave us a lot of what AEW, they have so much talent. They have almost too much talent. This roster is overloaded with talent who can go in the ring. We got to see a lot of that tonight on the show, whether it was Moxley and Lethal, whether it was Yuta and Danielson, or if it was Darby and Andrade, if it was Punk in the opening match against Max Caster, up and down the card, FTR in there. They have a lot of good wrestlers on the show. So we got a lot of good wrestling. They forwarded a lot of the key stories. Punk has called his shot. He has stated his claim. He's coming for the AEW World Championship. Right, no ambiguity about it. He flat out said, doesn't matter if it's Adam Cole, doesn't matter if it's Hangman Page, he will be the AEW World Champion. So that's the key story right now on this show. So we'll see what Rampage brings us on Friday night. It's going to be the Young Bucks against Top Flight. Oh, by the way, that was the segment I forgot to mention. So there was a segment earlier in the show. How did I skip over that? Completely forgot about the FTR interview in the back. FTR was in the back. They had their AAA tag team titles, and they were talking about the fact that we have the AAA belts. Friday night, we're going to become the new Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champions. Soon, we're going to become the first ever two-time AEW Tag Team Champions. And he goes, we may as well not wait. We may as well throw down the gauntlet to the Young Bucks. They issued a challenge to the Young Bucks to another match, Bucks FTR 2, to decide, in Dax's words, who the best tag team of all time really is. I don't see the best tag team of all time listed for that match, but they can have a match to determine who the best tag team is in AEW. So the Young Bucks, all of a sudden, they have a match on TV on Friday. And obviously, they're not going to lose against Top Flight, but that should be, well, it's one of those matches where good luck taking notes. The House of Black against Fuego del Sol, Evil Uno, and Stu Grayson. Jamie Hayter takes on Sky Blue in another Owen Hart Cup match. I'm sure Sky Blue's got a real chance of winning. And Keith Lee one-on-one against Powerhouse Hobbs. That is going to be a hell of a main event. Got a hoss fight coming up in the main event on Rampage on Friday. Now, next week on Dynamite, men's qualifiers will begin in the Owen Hart Cup. They're going to have another women's qualifier as well. They didn't say what they're going to be, but they're going to happen. And the Butcher and the Blade take on the Hardys in a tables match. So right back to the plunder next week. The Hardys, their specialty in the tables match. I don't know if they've mentioned when the Nyla Rose Thunder Rosa match is going to happen. Again, that's another one I assume. Probably Battle of the Belts, I would assume. Which, again, is, I believe, April 15th is when they will probably do that match. But, no, again, as I said earlier, I enjoyed, because I saw some people mentioning her in the chat, I enjoyed her promo earlier. I'll say it again. Great fire from Thunder Rose. That's why she has the Fire Thunder Driver. That's her finishing move. A lot of fire from Thunder Rose on the show tonight. I like it. Let's take a look at what you guys thought. Well, I mean, that says it all right there, doesn't it? 90%. Holy shit. 90% thumbs up. Not even 10%. Well, it's close, though. 9.9%. Thumbs down. Overwhelmingly positive score for Dynamite tonight. You can vote at Solomonster. That is the handle on Twitter. At Solomonster is where you guys can go and cast your vote. But, on the whole, like I said, strong episode of Dynamite tonight that was carried by the wrestling and the promo work as well. That's why when I opened the stream tonight, I said it was a very old school feel, especially that first hour of the show, right? It just felt like this is what pro wrestling is, or this is what pro wrestling used to be. You would have a series of, you know, really good matches. Stories would be progressed. You know, you had these strong promo work by some of the people on the show, but yeah, there was nothing really in that first hour that I would consider to be weak. You know, they really were on a roll. And then we had the debut of Tony Storm. So you also had the big debut by the new star on the show. Everybody was happy to see Tony. And then a hell of a main event to cap it all off. So I thought overall, very strong episode of Dynamite tonight. Let's see if you guys agree with me. Let's see what you guys thought of the show tonight. Again, Super Chats are open. Feel free if you would like to drop one or two or three or 10. Hey, there's no limit. There's no limit to what you guys can do. This is where I turn the show over to you. Man, this is going to be a busy week. This is going to be a very busy week. Somebody said, when do I sleep? As I said to somebody on Twitter, I sleep when I'm dead. So, which I might be by the time this weekend is over. I'll sleep when I'm dead. Hey, Shaquille Oatmeal. You get the first word tonight. $4.99. Would you give Cole the world title just to put Punk over instead of Hangman? I feel fans will turn on Hangman if it's Hangman against Punk. I appreciate you. No, I don't think I would. I think it's fine if you do Hangman against CM Punk. I think that's a big match, too. Let the fans decide who they're going to cheer for. Maybe it's a 50-50 reaction. But I think Hangman and CM Punk is a big match they could do. I don't see any need to just put the title on Cole and what? Have him as a transitional champion just to transfer the belt from one babyface to another? I don't think you need to do that. Joshua Carlos. I know it's early, but do you think Tony wins it all? Well, as I said earlier, I don't know. I don't really know the majority of who's even in the tournament, so it's impossible to say. I think she will go far. I think she'll go deep into the tournament. I can't say for sure if she's going to win. Joshua, thank you for the $4.99. He says, buy or sell Hogan against Rock, WrestleMania 18, or Undertaker against HBK at WrestleMania 26. Buy on Hogan and Rock, WrestleMania 18. Joseph Brooks. Chris Rock against Will Smith. Book it, Vince. Sure you want Vince to book it? You'd probably find some way to fuck it up. Also, Joseph says, which do you remember being more of a fan of during the Attitude Era? The European title or the Hardcore title? Or did you not really care about it? Oh, no. I was a big fan of the Hardcore title when Crash Holly was doing the 24/7 stuff. You know, when it was actually still kind of innovative and not played out the way it is today. Crash Holly was great. It's a shame what happened to him. But when they would go on location and people would sneak into a hotel room, you know, Patterson and Briscoe had the belt and he tried to get the belt back. And, you know, Funtime USA. And remember when Crash ran into the baggage claim area at the airport and he went into the machine? Like, you know, when they were doing stuff like that, Al Snow and the Boss Man, you know, in the middle of SummerSlam, wrestling into the street, going to the bar, going into the restaurant across the way. Like, to me, that was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun when Al Snow and Hardcore Holly brawled into the Mississippi River in the middle of February, which I'm sure did not feel too good. That was fun. That was great television. Crash Holly going around thinking that he was a 400-pound super heavyweight was very entertaining. Flamethrower Fluff Salisbury, do you think that we will see Eddie Kingston against Jake Hager soon? It would be ugly, but I like seeing two people just beat the hell out of each other. Pretty good chance you'll get it on TV soon. Jacob Donnelly, $5 super chat. Whatever Tony Storm does in AEW, let's pray to God it does not involve pies to the face. I don't think it will. Yeah, Jay William, I try to block that out of my mind. I try to pretend that the evening gown match at the King of the Ring in 2000 didn't happen. It was just the figment of my depraved imagination. The less said about that, the better. Dev to Dust, what are your thoughts on Jack Nicholson? Very random question. I like Jack. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. And played a great Joker. Not as good as Heath Ledger. But he is my second favorite Joker. Shin Akuma with the $20 Super Chats. WrestleMania season is here. Been doing this since WrestleMania 17. It is crazy. And he says, crazy to say now, my big four of my childhood is WrestleMania 17, 18, 19, and 20. Now I have my first kid, time to pass down the legacy. Well, you know what you do? You show your kid WrestleMania 17, 18, 19, and 20, and all the TV leading up to it, and don't show him any of the current stuff, and just pretend that the old stuff is the current stuff. And that way, he'll grow up liking the same stuff that you did and appreciating good wrestling. That's what you do. Please, if it were me, I'd sit my kid down. He'd be watching Superstars from 1990. I would start 1988, 1989, right on down. Does that make me a bad parent? I don't think that makes me a bad parent. Maybe it does. I don't know. Who gives a shit? Drew Johnson, Solomon, sir. You are the man, my friend. You are the man as well, Drew. Thank you very much. Hey, it's Jesse. Jesse Lampier with the $5 super chat. Tony Storm's AEW debut was lit. Glad she has a new home. Tuxedo T Servo. Tony Storm and not a single pie to the face. Think I like it. I'm pretty sure she does too. Rodimus Prime with the $25 from an hour ago. Thank you, Rodimus. Tony Storm is all elite. Also, from a scale of 1 to 10, what is your excitement level for NXT Stand and Deliver and WrestleMania 38? I think that Stand and Deliver is going to be a very good show. They don't call it TakeOver, but that's basically what it is. And I think those guys being in front of the biggest crowd, you know, in many of their cases, they have never, maybe in their lives, but certainly not in NXT since the relaunch to 2.0. This is going to be the biggest crowd they've performed in front of. There's going to be anywhere from 4,000 to 5,000 people in the building on Saturday afternoon. They're going to be extra motivated to go out there and tear the house down. Bron Breakker, Dolph Ziggler. Ziggler's a great opponent for him to be in the ring with. He's going to put him over and make him look like a million bucks. The ladder match, Carmelo Hayes, North American title. I think Cameron Grimes is going to take it. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff on that card. So I think that'll be very good. WrestleMania, well, we'll talk about WrestleMania tomorrow night. We're going to do the full preview and predictions for WrestleMania tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Eastern. Ted Evans, $10 super chat. Hope you get enough sleep this weekend. Going to be a long one for you. It is going to be a long week. I really hate the fact that they're doing NXT the same day as WrestleMania. I really wish they would do that. Even Friday. I know they have stuff Friday night, but even Friday afternoon, Thursday night, maybe. I just think doing it the same day is, very annoying. Chase Wood, again, that 50 spot from earlier. Chase, you're a beast. Thank you, brother. Says Punk to win the AEW title at Double or Nothing. Either Double or Nothing or All Out. I think it's one or the other. All Out's in Chi-Town, though. Punk's going to win. Can't think of a better place for him to win than Chicago. Food Hive. It's not Baby Solomonster. It's Bratty Solomonster. Hey now, careful with what you say about Bratty Solomonster. Some might say it's still Bratty Solomonster. Old habits die hard. Samoan Fan 101, last week I sent Ryback a tweet asking if he thought about working in the NWA, trying to help the big guy out. Found out on Sunday that I was blocked. Well, you gotta remember something. Ryback, you know, he's a very sensitive guy. I mean, this is the guy who put a poll out many months ago asking people, where do you want to see the big guy land? And over 70% of people said they wanted him to retire. That hurt his feelings. You know, he's an emotional guy. So, you know, I wouldn't be too upset. Ted Evans. $5 super chat. Thoughts on this whole MJF WWE love? Feel like with 2 years left on his contract, it seems strange. You are being worked. You are being worked. Tony Khan is not going to let MJF go anywhere. He's going to give him a nice big fat pay raise when his contract comes due and do everything in his power to keep him right where he is. See the beautiful thing about MJF when he goes and does these interviews, he could very well be telling the truth, but you would never know because everything he does feels like it's being done in character. So he could say anything, and then if it became an issue, just claim, well, hey, you know, I'm just doing my job. But yes, you are being worked. I would not pay too much attention to that. Matthew Dinkins, what is your early Owen Hart Cup finals pretty? Oh, I don't. Again, I hate doing that when I don't know who's in the tournament. I don't know any of the men at all who are in the tournament. I would think they're probably going to bring Harry Smith in to be part of that tournament. I don't think he wins it. It's impossible to say. You know, it's just impossible to say without knowing who's going to be in it. You know, it's easy to say, well, Brian Pillman Jr., but I don't know that I would go with him. And let's say you win the Owen Hart Cup. Do they have real plans for the winners, or is it just, you know, it's an honor to win, and then they don't have any follow-up plan. You have to have a follow-up plan. I'm not saying they have to get an immediate championship match, but there's so much about this tournament. I think it's really cool that they're doing it, but I think it's also, they could be handling this a lot better. We don't have a lot of information. We don't have a lot. Now, granted, they're not crowning a winner for another 2 months, so there's still time. But we have very little in the way of information about either of these tournaments, so I can't really make an educated guess without knowing who's in the fucking thing. Juan Ocampo, I suffered my first panic attack from an attempted robbery after work on on Saturday night. Did not get hurt. Thanks everybody in the group for the support. Well, that's awful. Sorry to hear that. Where do you work? Probably New York. Well, I'm glad you're okay. That's very scary. EJ Slemp, $4.99 super chat. Dry Chicken says Captain Insano is in the Owen Hart Cup. He might be. Hey, I had that up on the podcast on Sunday. Captain Insano is coming to AEW. Paul White is reprising Captain Insano from The Waterboy, and he is going to be portraying the character on AEW television. Maybe he's going to be in the Owen. I don't know. I kind of get the sense from all the stories of Owen Hart over the years, he probably would get a kick out of it. But EJ says, who do you think the other two members of Kingston, Santana, and Ortiz's team would be to make it 5-on-5, Blood and Guts, at Blood and Guts, if they do it? Well, it would make sense for it to be, well, let's see here. Let's see. The issue is with Kingston and Jericho. Okay, so those are the main two guys. Santana and Ortiz kind of, they counter 2.0. Then you have Hager. Who am I missing? Oh, Garcia. So you have Garcia and you have Hager. So the question is, do you add a tag team? Because you already have a tag team, right? With Santana and Ortiz. So I don't... Yeah, I don't know. See, the problem is that it would just feel like they're shoehorning extra guys in. See, I wouldn't do Blood and Guts with these guys. This issue to me does not feel worthy of a Blood and Guts match. They don't, at the moment, feel like they have anything worthy of the stipulation. I think Omega and the Bucks and whoever they might, you know, whoever might team with them, maybe Hangman, against Cole and Fish and O'Reilly and maybe one other person. Once that story gets going, see, that to me is worthy of the Blood and Guts treatment, but that's many months from. So maybe they save Blood and Guts for All Out. Nothing wrong with saving it for a big pay-per-view later this year, or a big Dynamite. You want to do it on television. I mean, look, they're going to come back to Arthur Ashe Stadium probably, right? I wouldn't be surprised if they were back in New York in September again. Maybe you do it on that show. 20,000 people in Arthur Ashe to see a Blood and Guts match? Just a thought. But, yeah, I mean, as far as who those people would be, I don't even want to venture a guess because that's not the match I would do. I wouldn't do it. Anybody I pick would just feel tacked on. They're not part of the existing issue between those two, warring groups. But I guess if I had to come up with a name, though, since you put me on the spot, given the history between them, I think Sammy Guevara. The history that they have with Santana and Ortiz in the Inner Circle, Sammy Guevara can be added to that. I don't know who you put on the other side. Offhand, I'm not entirely sure. Maybe the Men of the Year or one of them. Again, it's hard. Just they feel tacked on. Shin Akuma. Night one of the Sala Monster WrestleMania party. One of my Mania moments is the Shooting Star Press at WrestleMania 19. Are we just naming random WrestleMania moments now? That certainly is a moment that will be etched in my mind for probably the rest of my life, is watching this giant man attempt a Shooting Star Press and almost break his neck on live television. That was pretty scary. Cheeseburger says, who's the third man? I don't know. Maybe it's Sting. Maybe it's Mabel. I don't know. Remember that rumor? King Bling Blah, earliest wrestling memory, and first live show. My earliest wrestling memory, well, there was an angle they did on WWF television in 1987 that actually scared me when I was younger. And it was superstar Billy Graham, who was already, at that point even, Billy Graham was past his expiration date. And he had hip problems, and he was back managing Magnificent Don Morocco. And they did an angle on television where the one-man gang did a big splash over his surgically repaired hip. I think he had to go back out to have more surgery, maybe. He did this giant splash off the ropes onto Billy Graham's hip while he was laying on his side. And I really thought they were going to kill this man. I really did. And actually, that's not even true as far as my earliest memory. That is one of my earliest memories. That same year, earlier in the year, it was the angle with Randy Savage and Ricky Steamboat on television. It might have been Challenge. This was part of the build to WrestleMania 3. Famous angle. Savage comes off the top rope. Ricky is down by the guardrail outside. Here comes Savage. He may or may not have had the ring bell. I don't remember. But he knocked Steamboat's throat into the top of the guardrail, and Steamboat acted like he couldn't breathe. And I believe that he couldn't breathe. And so the man is struggling, gasping for air, and they have him on the gurney. And back then, the aisleway was so narrow. As they're trying to wheel him out, the fans are like, they're right there, and they're like touching him, like, oh, Ricky. But the guy is about, like, fucking dying. And I remember it scared the crap out of me. That is probably my earliest wrestling memory. As far as my first live event, I've talked about it before. It was Madison Square Garden the day after Christmas. WWE has been hitting the garden for a long time with those day after Christmas shows. This was back in 1987, December 26, 1987. And the main event was Randy Savage against Honky Tonk Man for the Intercontinental title, and Jimmy Hart was suspended above the ring in a shark cage. And I'm afraid of heights, so watching him be suspended above the ring in that cage scared the hell out. A lot of things scared me, you could tell. I was scared. I was not very hard to scare me when I was younger. I was scared pretty much by everything. Everything in wrestling scared me. So there you go. Who do we got next? Who we got? EJ. We got EJ. EJ Slemp. What is more likely to happen when their contracts expire? Christian returns to WWE or Edge goes to AEW? Probably Christian back in WWE. I don't see Edge going to AEW. There's no need. Why would he go to AEW? There's no need for him to go to AEW. He's getting a nice payday. His whole career was built in WWE. You know what I mean? I don't know if his wife is still doing anything for them. I mean, she stopped doing the commentary for NXT. There's literally no reason for Edge to go anywhere else. So if either of them were going to make the jump, it would be Christian, I think, going back to WWE. Kyle Parker with the $20 Super Chat. Just wanted to send a few bucks and maybe get a shout out if you're willing. Big fan. Hey, Kyle. Thank you. Shout out to Kyle Parker for supporting the channel here. The start of a very busy week here on the channel. All of your super chats mean a lot to me. It's going to be a very busy week. So all of your support, it does mean a lot to me. We have the Mount Vernon Kid, the Alpha. By the way, I mean, my God, I just talked about Ricky Steamboat. I got a Ricky Steamboat shirt on. How about that? Look at that. Ricky the Dragon. You can't see it, but Ricky the Dragon. You see the dragon right there. How about that? What a coincidence that is. Marcus Metcalf. Marina Shafir has revamped her style and look. She appears more confident in the ring. Shafir against Statlander on Dark is a match I would recommend. Well, then I might have to check that out. She from the video they put together, they certainly made her look like a dominant force, but I just have not seen any of her full recent matches. So Bob the Builder. Max Caster has a new fan in John Cena. It's not a bad fan to have. Dry Chicken. Will Smith against Chris Rock in a lights out match. Hey, Nayef Alsafar, thank you for the super chat. I hope you're doing well, sir. It's good to hear from Nayef. Near, a good friend from Israel. These are bad times, he says here, but we need peace with our cousins. I agree. Peace is a good thing. It's kind of, it almost feels utopian. But in a perfect world, everybody would get along with each other. Unfortunately, that's not how reality works. But Nier, I hope you're doing well. Dry Chicken, big shout out to Zack Sabre Jr. for winning the New Japan Cup. I wish Zack beats Okada for the IWGP World title, but realistically, Okada will retain. Yes, I believe you are correct. King Bling Blah, Adam Sandler to appear on AEW with Captain Insano. Well, all it takes is Paul White making one phone call to his buddy. Hulkling 93, I know it was a match with stakes, but I agree. The Tony Bunny match. Tony Bunny. I read that as if it were one person. It made me laugh. I agree. The Tony Bunny match did not need to be that competitive due to Tony debuting and Bunny's placement. It's a case of not every match needs to be 50-50. The artist formerly known as Natural Born Thriller. Time to work out Christian Cage this week with lots of wrestling streams because you're... You mean outwork, not workout. I thought you were talking about Christian like hitting the fucking weights or something and working out. Yeah, Christian Cage was going to be the guy who came into AEW. Remember he had the t-shirt, outwork everybody? And meanwhile, this guy hasn't been doing a damn thing. He's been lazy. It's terrible. Eating cheeseburgers in the back. Washing him down with some chocolate chip cookies. Awful. Awful. Cassio Black. $10 super chat. Solomonster, how old were you when you found out wrestling was a work? Or did you know from the beginning? I always knew. You can't fool me. You can't pull the wool over my eyes. I knew from day one. The Mount Vernon Kid says it was a fake account. Well, there you go. Yeah, I mean, it was... I was puzzled when you first said that because that just came out of nowhere. Her name has not been mentioned in like a year and a half. I haven't heard this woman's name mentioned. So, yes, I'm not surprised to find out that it was fake. And I honestly don't see that changing anytime soon, but at some point, somebody from some, you know, I say major promotion, but I mean, you say major, people think of two promotions or three. They think of WWE, they think of AEW, and they think of New Japan, and obviously she's not going to New Japan, so, you know, I don't think we're going to be seeing her for quite a long time. Dry Chicken, if Wardlow is banned from AEW, then Wardlow will show up in Ring of Honor. Interesting. But we saw Wardlow tonight. So Wardlow is not going quiet. He's not going quiet. I hit myself. He's not going quietly into the night. So I don't think we're going to be seeing Wardlow in... Because Wardlow goes where MJF goes. Why would he just randomly show up in Ring of Honor? He's going to go wherever he thinks MJF is going to be. So he's just going to keep popping up on AEW television until he gets his hands on him. And then they make the match for Double or Nothing. Because that match is going to happen in Vegas at Double or Nothing. Don Juan. Yes, Don Juan, that is fake news. But thank you for the $9.99 super chat. Boy, you know, a lot of people, I gotta tell you, when you see something on Twitter, especially something that feels like it just came out of nowhere, holy shit, you've got to check the source. You've got to check the source, or better yet, check with me and I'll find out for you. If you're not sure, check with me. But you got to check the source on these things. That's how rumors spread and get out of control. Shin Akuma, let's keep this Solomonster party going. I like the way you think, Shin Akuma. I like the way you think. Thank you very much for the $20. I appreciate that. Boy, these things are coming in so fast, I can't keep track. Here we go. I want to make sure I don't miss anybody here. I got to make sure I don't miss anybody. Bret Hart, my buddy, Bret. Bret is here, everybody. With all of his carbs. You should play the RSPW clown music for the Super Chats reading on the April Fool's Day stream. I might have to do that. That music doesn't get used enough, so I might have to do that. Paul Heyman, are you doing a sound-off review on the new movie G.I. Jane 2? No, I am not. Devin Garcia, can we rejoice that we are literally days away from the Iron Sheik finally making it to the ring for WrestleMania 38 like Bobby Heenan said he would? You bastard. I wrote that down in my notes for tomorrow night. You stole my joke. It is, in fact, WrestleMania 38. Bobby Heenan said it all those years ago. Ironically, that was, I think, the last... No, that was not the last WrestleMania in Texas, but that was another WrestleMania in Texas. And they are in fact, in Texas. So the Iron Sheik has never left the state. He's just been slowly making his way down to the ring. Brian's news alert with the $4.99 Super Chat. What a show today, and welcome to AEW, Tony. And keep up the great work, Solo Monster. He split that up. Sala Monster. And also, good luck by the end of the week. Oh, good luck. Well, you people are really, you're really making this challenging for me to read these here. Good luck by the end of the week because there are so much. There is a lot. There is a lot to watch. And, you know, look, I had some people asking me, well, how come you're not going to watch this and how come you're not going to review that? I am only one person. I am only one person, and I have to weigh the content that I think people are going to want to hear reviewed the most and what is going to do and perform the best on YouTube. And that's really what it boils down to. The Hall of Fame, I will hopefully have time to quickly watch it on Saturday morning. The Hall of Fame is going to be 90 minutes from 10:30 to 12 midnight. I am not watching SmackDown, waiting half an hour, watching a bunch of people talk, and then going live after midnight to talk about it when I have all that shit going down on Saturday. I'm not doing it. So the Hall of Fame, Ring of Honor, all that stuff, anything important, that's what the podcast on Sunday is for. I got you covered. Episode 750. We'll talk about that stuff there. But I can only do so much. I am only one person. I wish I could clone myself like Michael Keaton did in Multiplicity. But unfortunately, technology has not advanced to the point where we can do that. And you know what they say, a copy of a copy is never as good as the original. So, you know. Let's see. Who else we got? Hulkling93. Did you see Nikki Bella's botch when praising Vader's Hall of Fame induction? I did. And again, that is one of those things where be careful where you get your news. Because I believe it was Ringside News that had that story, and you would read the headline and think that she was talking about Vader as if she thought he was still alive. And from actually watching the clip, as some people did, or reading these exact words, that was not the case. Although I do believe she took down the video. But I don't believe she actually said what people have been saying she said. So again, you've got to be very careful with what you read and where. Food Hive. Tony Storm is going to be in Be the Booker's Curse. So you think we're going to pick Tony Storm and Be the Booker tonight? I believe she is in there. So maybe. Ted Evans. Random. Thoughts on the Nation of Domination 98. I feel they are kind of forgotten. I liked the Nation in 98 when The Rock was there and Owen Hart was part of the group and he was beating the hell out of Jason Sensation. Actually, the night that he beat the piss out of Jason Sensation on Raw, I was at Raw that night. That was my very first live Raw. That was at the Meadowlands in New Jersey. And Jason Sensation was at the commentary desk and he was doing all these impressions and he was doing an Owen Hart impression and you know, I am not, I can't do it, but he's like, I am not an aardvark. And Owen was in the back. They were doing a segment in the back with the Nation, and he just, all of a sudden they went back and he was gone. And it's because he was already halfway down to the ring to beat the shit out of that kid. So, yeah, that it's sort of a forgotten period of the Nation, but I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. EJ Slemp, if WCW does not go out of business in 2001, does the Attitude Era not end at WrestleMania 17? Or do they still transition into the Ruthless Aggression Era after that show? Impossible to say because we don't know whether or not Stone Cold turns heel or not. If WCW is still viable competition to WWF at that point, it would be insane to turn Stone Cold Steve Austin heel. If that doesn't happen, then I think things continue on for a while longer. Because when Austin turned heel, there were certain business, you know, metrics that you could see. It just, you know, started to nosedive. So if that doesn't happen, that changes things. So it's impossible to say for sure what would have happened. But I still think we would have ended up exactly where we are today. WCW and all of its dysfunction and everything, I mean, that was a disaster that was going to happen no matter what. Even if Bischoff had taken over like he wanted to, WCW was never going to regain the glory they once had. It caught lightning in a bottle, and that usually only happens once. Dry Chicken, I will use some of Danhausen's magic. Be the Booker tonight shall be cursed. Be the Booker is cursed every week. Why should that be any different? Have you seen some of the matches that I booked? Where have you been? You should do a Danhausen reverse curse. And M. Mills, I think that might be Michelle. What is going on? $10 Super Chat. Thanks in advance for all of the upcoming shows. Well, thank you for your support every week, and I hope you'll join me for most or all of those shows. I hope you will be here live with us. So I believe we are now all caught up on your Super Chat. There, look at that. There's Mr. Stink on your screen. Oh, we got another Super Chat coming in from another fan of the show. And I am a fan of hers. The lovely Ray Wrighton dropping a $9.99 Super Chat. Thank you for explaining the difference between woman and women. See you on the 15th. I will see you on the 15th indeed. House of Glory coming back. NYC Arena Tribulations is the name of the next show. We got Jeff Cobb on the show already announced. We got a lot of cool stuff on tap for that show. Amazing Red going to be back in action. Finally, healed up from his injury. Defending his championship, his six-way championship. Michael Pryor with the $4.99. Random. Instead of Becky shaving her head like Molly Holly or something cool after Raw, she got what looks like a mullet. Immediately turned off. I mean, she looked the same to me. She barely had any hair cut off her head. I mean, if Bianca really wanted to fuck with her, she would have given her like a racing stripe or something, you know? Temjin Zephyr has been a Sound Off channel member for 9 months. You could have popped a kid out in that time. And he's been a channel member that entire time. Great show. I wasn't surprised to see the crowd chant Will Smith after the Andrade Darby Slapfest. I wouldn't be surprised if that's the only reason they did it. Bring Okada to House of Glory. I'm going to work on that. I'm going to talk to the right people. We're going to see if we can do it. It's because you asked for it. Because you asked for it. We're going to try to get Okada in House of Glory. We're going to try to pull some strings. Look, we've had Rocky Romero there a bunch of times. Rocky Romero, right, has that connection to New Japan. I got to get on the phone to Rocky. You never know. I could be very persuasive. That would be awesome. To be able to call an Okada match live in House of Glory. That would be something. While I ponder that, let's go to Be the Booker and see if we have better luck than we have had in recent weeks, because we have booked some pretty awful fucking matches. So I'm hoping that tonight we have better luck. It is time to be the booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
Yes. We have a couple of tournaments going on. Not only is AEW doing a men's and women's Owen Hart Cup, we are doing men's and women's Be the Booker. And you can see here, this is where the brackets stand on the men's side. We've got Kofi Kingston against Razor Ramon. You can vote for that, or you can vote for CM Punk against Damian Priest. I believe Punk and Priest are in the lead in the voting. Shawn Michaels against the British Bulldog is on the other side of the bracket, opposed to Vince McMahon against Austin Theory. You can vote right now. The voting is underway. Go to the community tab on YouTube. You can vote on every single one of these semifinal round matches. Voting will last maybe a couple more days, and then I'm going to cut it off. Val Venus running into Kai and Tai. So get on that. You are voting on the main event that you think is most worthy of moving on to the finals and ultimately being declared the winning match of the entire tournament. So that is the men's bracket. We also have the women's bracket, which is Nyla Rose against Alexa Bliss in one spot, opposing Becky Lynch against Lacey Von Erich. Gail Kim against Doudrop on the other side of the bracket, opposing Rhea Ripley against Billie Kay. So again, get on that. Voting is underway. And shout out to Mr. Wombat, who just became a Sound Off Channel member. You know, I don't mention this enough, but channel memberships are open. There's a lot of bonus content there in the archives for you. If you are a legend on the channel, there's retro audio. If you are a Sound Off superstar or a legend, we've done a couple of live classic watch-alongs. There's call-in shows, all kinds of cool shit. Well, let's book a match here. Let's book a men's main event. We begin with WWE Champion Big E. There he is. Feel bad for Big E. Big E is going stir crazy at home. But I love that he's such a huge Seinfeld mark. He's so bored. He put together the Seinfeld Lego set. And one of the writers, actually the writer of the soup episode, which I always thought was called the Soup Nazi episode, but it's not called the Soup Nazi. The actual title of the episode is just The Soup. Sent him two signed copies of the script for the episode, which was very cool. Big E was marking out on Twitter earlier today in his neck brace. So anyway, very happy he at least was able to hold the WWE title, not knowing what his future holds. But let's see what his future holds here in this tournament. Who is Big E going to be stepping into the ring with? It will be Big E one-on-one with Darby Allin. I like that match. See, that's an interesting... This is why I started Be the Booker. Makes you think, how would a match like that play out? I think a Big E Darby Allin match would be a lot of fun. I mean, you have two guys who do insanely dangerous dives, so they have that in common. Big E's kind of, he's a powerhouse guy. He could throw Darby around. I like that match. That'd be a pretty good match. Dry Chicken says 5 stars. I don't know if I'd say 5 stars, but I do like that match. I do like that match. Let's see if we can have similar luck with the ladies. We begin with Camille. There she is. Is that Caprice Coleman in the background? He looks shocked by what he sees. NWA Women's Champion, Camille. Let's see who Camille's going to be stepping into the ring with here. It is going to be Camille one-on-one with AJ Lee. Again, I like that match. I like that match. Two winning matches this week. We got the reverse Danhausen curse. I think it worked. When was the last time we had two matches that we booked here that I actually liked and gave the winning bell to? How about that? Well, there you go. Be the Booker. I would call that a success this week. 2 for 2. We are 2 for 2 and Be the Booker this week. You'll love to see it. You'll love to see it. Again, go to the community tab here on the YouTube channel and vote. Semifinals. All the matches are open right now for voting. We've literally had thousands of votes through the first round of this tournament. People have been, they've been voting. They've been making their voices heard here and Be the Bookers. So we'll keep those polls up for another day or two, and then we'll come down to the finals. We'll come down to the finals by next week. We're going to crown winners in both those tournaments. Was Marty Scurll in that? I think that was Marty Scurll. That looked like, from behind, that looked like Marty Scurll. Mr. Dynamite says a couple of 3.5-star matches. Did Gail Kim ever face Trish Stratus in a feud? I'm sure they did. I'm almost positive they had a match, but not a feud. AJ was the real face of WWE's women's reevaluation. What is going on tonight with the spelling? I feel like I'm going to have to school some people here on this stream. The copy editor in me is just, my OCD is just going out of control right now with some of these spelling mistakes. The women's revaluation. Yeah, they should be reevaluating their women's division right about now. Coming out of WrestleMania. At least we're going to get Bayley and Asuka. They're on their way back soon. So that's going to be a nice infusion into the women's division, getting those two back. But yes, they could definitely use some reevaluating right about now. Calvin Miller, thank you for the $5. He says, name some wrestlers from the Attitude Era and the Ruthless Aggression Era that you put above Sting as far as legacy. Joey, it's all good, man. Joey, you're good. Legacy. I mean, well, obviously, you know, we're talking the big names here. We're talking Stone Cold. We're talking The Rock. Ruthless Aggression, you got to be talking Kurt Angle. You got to be talking John Cena. I mean, you're talking above Sting. Austin, Rock, for sure. Cena's an interesting one. There's going to be a whole generation of fans and kids years from now who are going to look back, and it's not even going to be close, you know, as far as ranking Cena above Sting. I'll put that question to you guys. What do you think about that? In terms of legacy, Cena was immensely important to WWE, and I would even say more important than Sting was to WCW. So yeah, in terms of legacy, you got to go Cena over Sting. I mean, I know some people aren't going to like to hear that. Like, Sting doesn't look very happy. He's staring at me on the screen right now. Look at that. He looks pissed. Sorry, buddy. Sorry. I'm insulting the man when he's watching me here, but yeah, I think you got to put Cena over Sting. You just look at overall impact of their respective company and the business as a whole. And of course, Cena now has gone on to be a much bigger mainstream star. Sting's not mainstream. I mean, the singer is. If you are a wrestling old, like a hardcore old school diehard wrestling fan, then you're going to put Sting over Cena. But I think just looking at it objectively, I think you probably got to put Cena over Sting. Food Hive. I think they recently changed the episode name. Did they? So, okay. PC. So instead of the soup Nazi, now it's the soup. It'll always be the soup Nazi to me. I love that super chat. Wasted. Down goes Mad Cat Moss. It's one of my favorite super chats. Yeah, Epsilon Sama says Darby in that graphic on the in the artwork on screen. He doesn't look too happy either. Sorry, boys. It's just the way it is. Epsilon Sama, can you give me 6 numbers from 1 to 69? I need your luck. Why 69? That disturbs me. I'll give you six numbers. Well, five is like my lucky number. So I'll give you five. I'll give you 14. I'll give you 21. I'll give you 28. I'll give you 34. Is that six? I think that's six. If that's five, I'll give you 42. There you go. Now, you know, if you play the lotto and you win, you got to give me half the winnings. That's how this works. We have hundreds of witnesses here with us live in the chat, so you can't weasel your way out of this. I get half. Turtlehead, you mentioned Leva earlier. I believe she does a lot of backstage stuff for AEW. She should have more matches, but she does not need a push like the others. No, she does not need a push in the ring. They have a lot of other female talent that is, you know, frankly, should be ranked ahead of her anyway. So I think that in the position that she's in, if she's doing behind-the-scenes stuff for them, then that's the place for her to be. Devin Garcia. Let's see what Devin says. Buy, sell, or borrow on these returns. Triple H in 2002, CM Punk in 2021, and The Rock in 2011. Thank you, Jared, dropping the $31 Bully the Clown super chat. I have a feeling we're going to see a lot of Bully the Clown over the next few days here on the stream. I'll get to your super chat here in a second, though. What was the question here? Okay, so buy, sell, and borrow. I mean, the Triple H pop in Madison Square Garden is legendary. Are we talking about singular pop? Because that one is, that's a good one. The Rock coming back in 2011 was huge. He was gone, you know, as long or longer, maybe slightly, than CM Punk was. Punk was gone for 7 years, right? Rock was also 7 or 8 years. You know, if I had to rank them just based on the moments themselves, my personal ranking of them, I got to put Punk at number one. I mean, that Punk reaction in Chicago was incredible. So I would put Punk one. I would buy on Punk. I would borrow Triple H. And I would have Rock at the bottom. But they were all incredible reactions. Punk, I got to put number one. I got to put Punk at number one. But if you want to know what the greatest single pop of all time was, you got to watch the end of the Rock Mankind match on that taped Raw. Technically, it was taped in 1998. It didn't air until 99. But when Austin came out to do the run-in at the end of that championship match, and you see everybody rise to their feet, the building is shaking, biggest pop of all time. That will never be beaten. Never be. The crowds back then were just different. They were built different. You know, Austin was built different. There's no star on his level today anywhere. So I don't think that's going to be one of those moments that is ever topped. Dry Chicken. My magic worked tonight for Be the Booker. The curse cure spell. I think it did work. I absolutely think it worked. Austin at Backlash was also great. It was a sustained 5 minute long pop right through Rock winning the championship. That was a great moment too, but I'm telling you, that moment on Raw where he helped Mankind win the belt, when that glass shatters, you watch that crowd, you listen to that crowd. Oh, I mean, those are what wrestling moments are made of right there. I'll give you another one. When Austin came out during the invasion angle, it was one of the only great things about the invasion. Right before the invasion pay-per-view, when he came out to help Team WWF, and they teased it throughout the show, we need the old Stone Cold back, and he shows up to the building, he's beating guys up in the back, but all the WWF guys are getting their asses kicked, they're getting slaughtered in the ring, and then the glass shatters and the Disturbed music hits. And here comes Austin and Jim Ross on commentary. Oh, he's talking. Oh, he's walking. And he goes down to the ring, stunners for everybody. And then all the WWF guys are in the ring at the end. Undertaker helps Kurt Angle up. Undertaker's in the ring. Kurt Angle, I think Jericho was there. Was Jericho there? I think Jericho was there. Kane. And there's Austin and there's Jim Ross screaming. They're all together. They're all together. They're all for the WWF. That was a great moment too. Can you think of another top star, another star in the history of this business that has as many iconic, loud moments, reactions, as Stone Cold Steve Austin? The two that I just mentioned, the Zamboni, the beer truck. How many other times did he come out and get a giant pop? I feel like I'm missing a whole bunch here. Those are the ones that stand out the most. Yeah, the guy had a charmed career. There were people that would kill to get half the reaction he would get when he would come out. And you wonder why I'm excited. I'm excited to see him on Saturday. It's the thing I'm looking most forward to at WrestleMania this year. You could say it's really sad, but it's true. I'm looking forward to the glass shatter. Here he comes, and what are they going to do with Stone Cold Steve Austin? How much of a fight are we going to get between Austin and Kevin Owens? It's the biggest thing I'm looking forward to on Saturday night. Those are the moments that live forever. Those are the moments that stick with you. Those are the moments I love to go back and see. I get goosebumps just thinking about it and watching some of those things back. Jared M. read that Bret Hart is showing up Saturday night to support Austin. Is that another one of those April Fools? I'll take your word for it. I didn't see that, but that would make sense, though, that they would, you know, bring Bret in for WrestleMania weekend. And he did an interview this week, and he talked about Austin and being happy for him, you know, and putting him over and talking about their match at WrestleMania 13. So, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if WWE was actually flying him in for the show. Or he'll be at the Hall of Fame. You know, Undertaker's going into the Hall of Fame on Friday night. Maybe he wants to be there for the Hall of Fame. Fawaz, it's my buddy from Saudi, the one who always has the sound-off signs at the Saudi Arabia shows. You know, the news was out today that the next Saudi Arabia show is looking to be in September. It looks like they might be bringing TLC to Saudi Arabia. That's the same month that they're doing a stadium show in the UK, which might be the same weekend that AEW is doing All Out. So September looks like it's going to be a pretty big month. Samoan fan, what are your funniest auto corrections? I've had a few in my day. I've had a few mistakes, unfortunately. Trying to think of the worst one. there have been some bad ones. The one that I was mortified when it first happened, it was actually like a work. Was it a text message? It might have been an email. Might have been an email autocorrection, but on my phone. At the end of the email, you know, a lot of times if I'm writing a note to a client or, you know, maybe a media person, if I'm pitching a story or whatever, you know, I'll tend to say best or best regards, and then I put my name. Twice, that has been fucked up. And I didn't realize it until it was too late and it was already sent. One of the times I put, I fucked that up once and I put an A in there, or it auto corrected from best to beast. That's what it was. Because sometimes I'll use the word beast, you know, oh, that's beast or whatever. So it must be in the dictionary on the phone. And so instead of signing off on the email to this client saying, oh, you know, best, and then putting my name, it said beast. You know, and it was going to a woman, too. So it's like I sent it. And at first, I didn't realize it until I was referring back to the email. And then I realized, oh, fuck. I wrote this email to this woman, and then I wrote beast. So that was actually pretty funny. But I was also mortified, because you never know how people are going to react to that. You hope people have a sense of humor, right? But sometimes people have a stick up their ass. You don't know how they're going to react. So, yes. You have to be very careful when you put these work emails together. You never know. You never know what might happen. Darth Panic. Maybe I was thinking of Brock Lesnar. Maybe I had Brock on the brain. I don't know. Darth Panic. Will WWE give Scott Steiner a live mic at the Hall of Fame? Well, he's being inducted, so yeah, of course they will. He's going into the Hall of Fame, so he's going to have a live mic. Look, his nephew works for the company. He's not going to do anything to embarrass his nephew. Yeah, I mean, come on. You know, in fact, he might even play into it and do some Steiner math just to make everybody laugh. But he's not going to do anything to embarrass or get his, you know, nephew in the doghouse or anything like that. So, in fact, I wouldn't be surprised if the only reason he even agreed to this is for Bron Breakker. Maybe Bron's going to be doing the induction. You heard the audio I played on the podcast from years ago. The rant that he went on, he'll never go into the WWE Hall of Fame. It doesn't exist. It's not here. They may as well put it on the moon, he said. So that way, one day, they could say, hey, have you seen the WWE Hall of Fame? We got to go to the moon. He went on this whole rant. So it's like, well, what happened? How come he had a change of heart? Either he's getting soft in his old age, or, you know, he's doing it for his nephew. He's playing nice. But Fawaz says, hey, buddy, how are you? It's been a while. I miss talking with you. I'm just so busy with my last semester in the university, but I have some amazing news. The TV rights deal has been completed. And he says, TLC. So there you go. He's hearing the same thing about TLC. And apparently there is a completed TV rights deal, I guess, with respect to WWE in Saudi Arabia. So if you are a fan over there, I guess that is something to be happy about. But Fawaz, it's always good to hear from you, buddy. You know that. Samoan Fan answered your question already. Darth Panic, I answered yours. EJ, are there any former WWE producers or even writers that you think can do a good job as lead booker of the new Ring of Honor? I mean, I don't know what their writing ability is. Gabe worked for WWE and NXT. He's no longer there. He's available. You know, he certainly had a lot of success in the early years of Ring of Honor. Maybe Gabe. Maybe Tony Khan brings in Gabe to help out a little bit on the booking end. My impression is that Tony Khan is going to basically do everything by himself. I think in the long term, that's a bad idea. He's got enough on his plate. Now he's going to book two different promotions. I think that's too much. Wouldn't shock me to see Gabe end up back in ROH. And Bob the Builder says, what time do you usually go to bed? Later than I should. Later than I should. Well, look, on a night where I stream, what time is it now? It's 12:20 in the morning. We're going to wrap up here in a second. You know, I have to wait. I have to do some editing. So, you know, it's not like the stream ends and then I, you know, collapse in my bed or anything. I probably on a night like tonight wouldn't go to bed before 2. On a Friday night where the stream starts later, I wouldn't go to bed until closer to 3. And so if I go to bed at 3 a.m. on Saturday and I want to wake up early to catch up with the Hall of Fame and maybe Ring of Honor, and then I got to get ready for the NXT stream at 1, watch that from 1 to 4. Let's say it's a 3-hour show. Then I go live at 4. I got to get out of there by 6. That's when the WrestleMania pre-show begins. I have to shower and try to eat something. WrestleMania starts at 8. That's probably going to go to 11 or 11:30. I go live almost midnight. Probably go to bed Sunday morning around 3-ish. I got to wake up at 8, no later than 8 to eat, and then do the podcast, and then get ready for night 2 of WrestleMania. So, yeah. Yeah. It's a lot. But I do it for you. I do it for you, and I do it because I enjoy it. Some weird, twisted way. Shin Akuma dropping $20 here on the stream. says, I was just on that segment a month ago, and I have been watching the product from 2000. Every Raw, every SmackDown leading into the pay-per-view, I have made it to the No Mercy show from 2001. I started this last year. I don't know what year to stop at. I would say once you get to like 04, you can pretty much taper off. 02 and 03, especially on SmackDown, were the best years that SmackDown has ever had. 2002 and 2003 SmackDown was fucking the A show. So I would definitely make sure you watch that. Don't forget the money. Never do anything you're good at for free. Yeah, I learned that lesson a long time ago. What happens if I have to use the restroom during the live stream or the podcast? Well, you see, I have a bucket under the chair, and I cut a hole in the bottom. So there you go. See, I'm always thinking here. You gotta think. You gotta be creative when it comes to this stuff. What do I think of Shane McMahon being brought in for Mania? Probably be at the Hall of Fame to watch The Undertaker go in. Would be my guess. Darth Panic says, a diaper. I should wear an adult diaper. That is an option. I don't really have an interest in doing that, but that is certainly an option. Again, for those of you who may have missed it, this is the schedule over these next several days. This is the streaming schedule. I posted this on Twitter as well and in the community section on YouTube. We got Wednesday done. Tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, WrestleMania 38 live predictions. Bring your ass and your super chats. And we'll hang out tomorrow night. Friday night, SmackDown and Rampage. That is the plan. NXT Stand and Deliver Saturday afternoon. Then we prep and get ready for WrestleMania 38 night one. Stone Cold Steve Austin on the Kevin Owens Show. Seth Rollins versus who? We shall see. Sunday, episode 750 of the podcast, and then Sunday night, WrestleMania 38, night two. So that is the schedule as it currently stands. If you missed it, this lady right here on your screen, Toni Storm, she is All Elite. She is officially qualified for the Owen Hart Cup. Hopefully they won't wait too long to tell us who the other participants in the tournament are going to be. It would be nice to know. I'm going to get on out of here. Don't forget to vote in the Be the Booker voting, as that is moving along. And thank you for hanging out with me here on a Wednesday night. I appreciate the support. Hit that like button on your way out. And consider becoming a channel member if you are not already a Sound Off superstar or a Sound Off legend. You can click the join button below this video. It'll give you all the information on what you get. And it's just another way that you can support what I do here on YouTube. So until next time, being tomorrow night, be well, stay safe. And I will see you guys for more Sound Off in less than 24 hours. I'll see you for the WrestleMania prediction stream tomorrow night.